This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Analysts are saying U.S. farmers will need to plant an additional 10 million acres this year to maintain adequate supplies. However, to reach the 327 million acres that analysts say is needed, farmers will need favorable weather and will have to increase double cropping. Iowa State University agricultural economist Chad Hart said grain prices are screaming for more acres, which will encourage farmers to convert pasture land into cropland. At AFBF's annual meeting in Atlanta last week, Gerald Bang, chairman of the USDA's World Agricultural Outlook Board, signaled the need for more crop acreage this year. At a seminar on the crop outlook, Bang said as much as 10 million acres could move into crop production this year. Feed grain prices will be a major factor for profitability for livestock producers this year, with many analysts expecting corn prices to reach $6 per bushel. Profit margins will be reduced and risk management will be critical. Gerald Scherson, professor of swine nutrition and management at the Department of Animal Science at the University of Minnesota, said high feed prices may cut the profit of pork producers by 80 cents per slaughter pig. High feed costs could mean just a break-even year for pork producers. Cattle prices are high, which means cattle producers can still make money despite higher feed costs, according to Daryl Mark, Extension Livestock Marketing Specialist and Associate Professor of Ag Economics at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. However, he said risk management will be critical. Chicken prices, especially prices for breast meat, should move up to cover higher feed costs, according to Bill Rognick, Senior Vice President for the National Chicken Council. In an address to the Michigan Agribusiness Association's winter conference, Senator Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, the new chairwoman of the Senate Agriculture Committee, promised a bipartisan approach to the 2012 Farm Bill. She also said sound science must drive agricultural policy. She says with almost 7 billion mouths to feed around the globe, we need American leadership in innovation, biotechnology, and increased efficiency to make it possible to feed the world. Stabenow added, to foster that innovation, we need a regulatory system that is science-based and efficient, and we also need to open up markets. The newly organized Food Safety Scientific Advisory Committee of the United Egg Producers plans to make recommendations to improve and support egg safety at farms and packing plants, which is expected to help producers comply with Food and Drug Administration egg safety rules. UEP plans to adopt the committee's recommendations through revisions and updates to its UEP 5-star egg safety program. The egg safety program would be similar to UEP's animal welfare program. Independent outside audits would be required to make sure the standards are met. American Farm Bureau Federation President Bob Stallman said Farm Bureau welcomes President Barack Obama's focus on reforming the regulatory process. In a prepared statement, Stallman said farmers, ranchers, and countless other business owners face a long list of federal requirements that are eroding their bottom line. They come in the form of regulations, guidance, and any number of other agency pronouncements. All too often, these agency actions are far from transparent and lack full consideration of economic impact, let alone any effort to minimize that impact. The most recent and notable example is the Chesapeake Bay Total Maximum Daily Load. The President's executive order notes that the regulatory system should promote economic growth, be based on the best available science, allow for public participation and an open exchange of ideas, and use the least burdensome tools for accomplishing its ends. EPA's Chesapeake Bay TMDL rule fails on all these counts. For example, EPA failed to analyze, or at least failed to publicly disclose, the economic impact that would result from its TMDL, even after repeatedly promising to do so. If the new executive order is to have any meaning, we expect it will result in the reconsideration of EPA's Chesapeake Bay TMDL. Otherwise, we have to wonder whether this executive order will bring about any real change. Farm Bureau supports legislation introduced in the House to repeal IRS Form 1099 reporting requirements that is part of the health care law. H.R. 4, the Small Business Paperwork Mandate Elimination Act of 2011, was introduced by Representative Dan Lundgren of California, and to date, the legislation has 245 co-sponsors. Senator Mike Johanns of Nebraska plans to introduce a bill in the Senate January 25th to repeal Form 1099 requirements in the law. So far, the following senators have signed on as original co-sponsors: James Inhofe of Oklahoma, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Mike Inzi of Wyoming, John McCain of Arizona, Scott Brown of Massachusetts, John Thune of South Dakota, Saxby Chambliss of Georgia, Richard Lugar of Indiana, Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, and Richard Burr of North Carolina. Townsend Kaiser, a former chairman of AFBF's YF&R committee, was interviewed on CBS Evening News, where he explained the troubles imported catfish are bringing to his industry. Kaiser, a third-generation catfish farmer in central Alabama, says he is not afraid of competition on a level playing field. The playing fields, he says, are different right now. In 2003, 3% of U.S. catfish sales came from foreign countries. In 2009, imports climbed to 57%. With cheaper labor, imported catfish sells for $1.25 a pound less than U.S. catfish. Matt Walker, with the Alabama Farmers Federation, said the Agriculture Department must begin to inspect foreign fish for safety, as mandated by the 2008 Farm Bill. Walker says he feels like the USDA and the administration needs to step up and get these rules in place. USDA Deputy Secretary Kathleen Merrigan announced Wednesday that a final rule to initiate a voluntary product certification and labeling program for qualifying bio-based products will be published in the Federal Register. The new label will clearly identify bio-based products made from renewable resources and will promote the increased sale and use of these products in the commercial market and for consumers. Bio-based products are those composed wholly or significantly of biological ingredients, renewable plant, animal, marine, or forestry materials. The new label indicates that the product has been certified to meet USDA standards for a prescribed amount of bio-based content. The final rule applies to product manufacturers and distributors who wish to label products with USDA's distinctive product mark. Jim Miller, Undersecretary for Farm and Foreign Agricultural Service at the Agriculture Department, will return to the staff of Senator Kent Conrad of North Dakota next month as a senior aide leading his negotiations on the next farm bill. As chairman of the Senate Budget Committee and a senior member of the Senate Agriculture and Finance Committees, Conrad played a key role in writing the 2002 and 2008 farm bills. Miller served as a senior advisor to Conrad from 2004 to 2008 and was his lead negotiator on the 2008 Farm Bill. In 2009, he was appointed Undersecretary for the Farm and Foreign Agricultural Service, the third highest-ranking official at USDA. Earlier this week, two animal activist groups, the Humane Society of the United States and Farm Sanctuary, filed initiative language on egg production in Washington state. The language would require egg producers in the state to give hens enough room to turn around and extend their wings. All eggs sold in the state must be produced on farms that meet the same standards. "We're trying to move across the country with this," is how Allison Longley of Farm Sanctuary described the effort. Locally, the two national activist groups are organizing under the name Washingtonians for Humane Farms. Greg Satram, vice president of Williamette Egg Farms, said producers will fight the initiative. He says based on actions they've taken in other states, it likely will not be anything that egg producers in Washington could support. January is home to numerous food holidays, including Bread Machine Baking Month, National Candy Month, National Egg Month, National Hot Tea Month, National Oatmeal Month, National Soup Month, National Wheat Bread Month, and National Prune Breakfast Month. Several days are also designated for special observances in January. Wednesday was National Popcorn Day. Thursday is a trifecta of food observances: National Cheese Lovers Day, National Butter Crunch Day, and National Granola Bar Day. And Friday was National New England Clam Chowder Day. Such lighthearted observances can serve as jumping-off points for outreach to consumers via social media. National Soup Month in particular has been a popular topic on Twitter, the microblogging website, for the past couple of weeks. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.